Episode 221.
Most shops, independent shops, are owned and operated by technicians. And technicians originally, I believe, set out to be somebody who is left alone. They're professionals. They're really good at what they do. They want to diagnose and repair cars. And then they get to a place where they decide they're going to do it on their own. And they're starting over. So the education begins again.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results. Hi, Carm Capriotto here, and welcome to the Aftermarket's premier podcast, Remarkable Results Radio, and episode 221 with my guest, shop owner Bill Greeno from Truckee, California. And this episode is brought to you by Federal Mogul Motor Parts. They are the reason you enjoy these interviews twice per week. When you need innovation and quality, you need Federal Mogul Motor Parts. Brands like Moog, Felpro, Wagner Brake, Anko, Champion, Seal Power, FP Diesel, and more, they're the parts techs trust. Find out more at fmmotorparts.com. You know, every time I sit behind the microphone, I'm privileged. I'm excited and engaged over every interview because I always learn something, and I'm trusted to bring the aftermarket quality content each week for your edification. Every episode comes with their own show notes, additional bio information, links, and key talking points to help you enjoy and improve your takeaways. You can find this week's show notes with Bill Greeno at remarkableresults.biz/E221. And a big thank you to my new Facebook followers, Nick Payton, John Villa, Robert Michael Arlt, and Debbie Taylor. And to my new LinkedIn connections, Russ Carter and Vedran Rasik. Great to have you on board and engage with the quality content produced for you each and every week. I recently mentioned in social media to schedule a lunch and learn with yourself or your team, some time to review a Town Hall Academy. As of this podcast episode, there are 17 full-length training sessions, all on a different trending topic. What is really important is these seminar-like videos are presented by your peers in the industry. They participate on the Academy to pay it forward with their passion on the subject. Each Academy excels in content that you can use in your business or your life. Go to remarkableresults.biz/learning or to my YouTube page. Now, meet Bill Greeno from Quality Automotive and Smog from Truckee, California. Now, that's up in ski country in the Sierra Nevada mountains. Bill is not only a shop owner, but also a shop owner business consultant. He specializes in leadership management and works with a group of 14 shop owners. In this episode, discover that Bill is building a brand new six-bay shop, learn all about his Red Check Club retention program. He does see a bright future for the service professional and has his opinion on the future. Bill credits his wife, Sheila, for being the ideas person as a compliment to Bill being the person who makes things happen. Bill was recommended by many podcast alumni and listeners. They wanted you to hear Bill's view of not only his business, but on his view of personal challenges shop owners face in growing a great business. Now listen to Bill Greeno, shop owner and business consultant. A warm welcome to Bill Greeno of Quality Automotive and Smog in Truckee, California. Now, Truckee, in the mountains, right near Nevada, right?
Yes, yeah, Sierra Nevadas.
Hey, Bill, what's the differentiation in Quality Automotive and Smog in Truckee? What are you proud of that makes your company great?
I think what makes our company great, Carm, is our attention to detail. And when I say attention to detail, I don't just mean with every car, but with every customer and even with our staff. We spend a lot of time working with communication, working with one another, to make sure that the relationships in the shop are strong, that motivation's high.
So working with each other and communicating, it just telling me that the culture's one of your most important things.
I would say so. That's the feedback we get from our customers. It's certainly what we work on a day-to-day basis. We talk about educating our customers so that they know what to expect. And by doing so, you bring them into the fold of your culture, and they enjoy it. Everybody knows everybody. It is a small town. We've got maybe 7,000 regular residents here.
Hey, I know in chatting with you that you are a business consultant on top of being a business owner.
Correct. Yeah. The Institute for Automotive Business Excellence is where I call home part of the time, teach classes there, and also work through the Institute with a group of about 14 shops in the Southeast for Worldpac Auto Parts.
Excellent. Now, you have your own group of 14. It's kind of like, if you will, a 20 group?
It is, yeah.
And how is that done? Do you go out much, or are you just doing it over the phone?
Four times a year, once a quarter, we're on site at a host shop, and that shop gets to have a walkthrough with all the other owners and participants that day. We go through everything from white gloving the shop to interviewing all the employees. We look through their computer systems. We look through their invoices. We go through everything. And we do that four times a year. Then we meet the other months and review financials online through a meeting.
I've heard from former guests that they have by going out and visiting shops, it's a big impact on their business and an important part of the 20 group.
Oh, yes, definitely. If you were to ask my participants, my participating shops, what the best part of the 20 group is, or what the best part of the SMART group is what it's called. I am 90% sure that most of them would say just the interaction with the other owners. There's always something to be learned. And whether it's from the host shop or just a casual conversation that happens during a break, that's where a lot of the magic happens. And even at check-in.
Is the biggest challenge that you see out there is to get our service professional to become a better CEO?
Definitely. I would say that the primary challenge for most shops, because most shops, independent shops, are owned and operated by technicians. And technicians originally, I believe, set out to be somebody who is left alone. They're professionals. They're really good at what they do. They want to diagnose and repair cars. And if you throw some ego into it, they even want to do what other people can't do. And then they get to a place where they decide they're going to do it on their own, and they're starting over. So the education begins again. And I believe that the SMART group is certainly a wonderful place to have that happen, especially because they're flanked by other owners, by other folks who came up the same way they did.
They're in the same situation at the same time. Ever since I've been podcasting, this is a continual theme, you know, moving from working in your business to working on your business. And now just recently, this whole thing about be a better CEO. With the majority of our shop owners out there, is this philosophy, this business acumen, really starting to take hold?
I think so. The education is everywhere, whether it's Vision or Worldpac STX, Cars, SEMA, everybody is diving into those opportunities for education. The fact is that I think that a lot of the, shall we say, bad rap that shops get, you know, whether it's being dishonest or this or that, I don't buy. Personally, I think that most shop owners, and again, you know, 90%, are out there to do the right thing. They're out there because they didn't like the way it was being done. When they start their own shop, they have visions of grandeur. And what they run into is, you know, for one reason or another, they're not able to meet the customer's expectations. And ultimately what happens is, because they don't have training in customer service, because they don't know interpersonally how to get around in front of the customer and educate the customer for what they should expect and what they'll get, they end up behind the curve and get shoved back into that group of shops that maybe isn't providing the service that people expect.
How hard is it to make that transition?
I think it depends upon the person. I've seen shops succeed and I've seen shops fail. The shops that succeed are the ones that are that I see on your podcasts. They're the ones that are willing to do the work. They're willing to make the changes. The ones that fail really, truly still believe that they can't do it that way, that for whatever reason, something's holding them back. And if they believe that they can't do it the right way, then they're not going to succeed.
Interesting. Something holding them back. Would you say that what's holding them back is themselves?
Yes.
Brake jobs are a staple component of all successful shops, and getting the brake job right helps build a quality reputation for any shop. When the best is called for and stopping distance, rotor wear, and pad life are important to every shop and its customers, Wagner OEX brake pads are your only choice. Based on benchmark testing conducted by Link Engineering Company, Wagner OEX pads can stop a pickup, SUV, or CUV up to 50 feet sooner. Based on internal testing comparing new Wagner OEX to other Wagner offerings, the unique design of Wagner OEX increases pad life up to 2 times longer. The customized shape and slot design of each of the more than 114 SKUs creates a turbulent airflow that allows for cooler operation and improved stopping power for the vehicle on which it was designed. Wagner OEX cover 95% of the U.S. market of pickups, SUVs, and CUVs. Wagner has the science behind stopping perfected. They conduct 13,000 critical tests each year, and as of today, have 258 issued patents with 68 patents pending. Wagner has earned their stripes. Now they want to earn yours. Install Wagner OEX, the customized brake pad that can stop your customer's truck up to 50 feet sooner. Know why you install Felpro, the gaskets professionals trust? Every part that goes into a Felpro box is validated and approved by a Felpro engineer. Product testing and validation is an integral part of Felpro's engineering, manufacturing, and field testing, where vehicles undergo tests that log over 1 million miles every year. They also reach out to you, the pro, through technology blogs and their technical forums to listen, learn, and keep in touch with you. It's amazing to think that Felpro produces over 325,000 gaskets per day. That's 325,000 per day in their 1 million square foot facility in Skokie, Illinois. Under the same roof, engineering and manufacturing uphold Felpro quality utilizing 4,500 active production tools with tooling tolerances to 5 microns. Now that's smaller than a human hair. A tight tolerance like that ensures the sealing ability of Felpro gaskets. And their own in-house chem lab develops proprietary formulations like PermaDry Plus to produce 35,000 molded rubber sealing components every day. Plus, with Felpro, you get coverage from 1955 of 96% of all domestics and 93% of all import vehicles. So feel confident that with new engines and new technologies, Felpro will be there with innovative solutions to solve your customers' sealing problems. Felpro, the gaskets professionals trust. Go to felpro-only.com for more information. If I picked up the phone and said, hey, come and speak to my group, what would a topic that you just are so passionate about that you want to come out and tell the world?
Well, with the Institute, they call me the leadership and management guy. So I often fall into what makes a great leader. And I think what makes a great leader is somebody who is willing to step out in front of others and lead. Showing up is so important, just being willing to get out there and put yourself in front of folks. What makes them succeed from there? You know, everything from vision writing, goal setting, and ultimately closing that loop, following up with your staff, making sure they understand the company's vision, philosophies, and goals.
Is leadership really hard for a lot of guys?
I think it can be because they're so used to being one of the guys. They're used to being part of the group, and now they have to set the example. They have to be the leader. They have to be the person that's willing to be the moral and ethical role model for the rest of the group.
What do you start working on first? If I came to the Institute and they said, here, work with Bill. Yeah, I know there's a million things for you to find out. Do I know finance? Do I know marketing? Do I know HR? Do you work on business culture, vision, mission, values to start with?
You certainly could. It depends upon where you are. If you have a staff already, then yes. If you don't have a staff, then you have to start with hiring, interviewing, and the techniques that fall in with interviewing.
How many times do you take a client on that's just a solopreneur?
Oh, there's a few out there for sure. They start, you know, they'll come in as owner operators
in a small shop, and you know, it may be the most perfect time to have them find themselves a business consultant, isn't it?
Sure.
In the early stages,
where they have one or two They have one or two employees maybe, and they're looking to expand.
And they say, you know, why should I go deep in a hole, keep hiring people, not know what I'm doing? And that's refreshing to hear that you've gotten some, I don't want to say early adopters, but yeah, early adopters.
That's what it is. Definitely. The folks that have been around for 20, 30 years and for whatever reason have been unhappy business owners because they haven't taken the time to get out there, who are still in business. Those are tough. Those guys are tough to turn around.
Unhappy business owners. So it's really their daily hobby. And it's even worse than a hobby because usually you like your hobbies, right?
Right. And that would certainly be something that that I think the reason you go into business for yourself is to enjoy, is because you didn't enjoy working for others. You need to set up an environment where you enjoy going to work every day and your staff enjoys being there as well.
So as not only a shop owner, but a consultant in the industry, do you see any big concerns or threats going on in the industry that we just need to, you know, be very cognizant of?
I think that right now we are in a place where good things are happening. I think that, like you said, shop owners are becoming educated. They see the opportunity and the importance of being educated and in business. They understand what it takes to succeed. On the supply end, I think that the schools, whether they be high schools, technical schools, whether it be shops themselves, we are developing a new force of technicians out there. I see it in my community anyway. We've taken steps to, we've got three shops in our town that are working with apprentice programs. We've got two automotive classes going on at our local junior college here in town. And then down in Reno, we've got several accredited automotive schools. So I think that from supply right through delivery, we're in a beautiful place. And the next 10 years to me look really promising for the independent automotive industry.
So in your world, you don't see a technician shortage?
Sure there is currently. However, it's being seen to. I think enough people have seen the shortcoming in technical skilled trades, be it welding, automotive, and any other skilled trades. And the educational machine is starting to see to it that they bring around a new group of people that have that opportunity to be educated in the technical world.
Would you advise your shops that you work with that they need to make sure that their technicians get so many hours of technical training a year?
Yes. Yeah. We require, I say require, my guys are always asking about educational opportunities. We shoot for 10 hours a quarter, 40 hours a year per person, technicians or service advisors. Usually what we end up with is in the neighborhood of 60 hours average per person.
Excellent. Are the shops paying for the training?
Yes. The shop pays for the training. It pays for the technician to attend the training, and it pays the technician for having gone to the training.
Do you recommend that they get bonuses as they, get all those hours during the year?
Well, the way our pay plan works is it's worth $2,000 a year to maintain your required training.
Are you keeping a resume on every technician for the classes that they're going to and their ASE certifications so that you know exactly where along the line everyone is?
Yeah, we keep, I've got all of their certificates on hand, and then I keep a running total, obviously, for the pay plan, but we also use it in our advertising. We talk about it in the community. We make sure that everyone knows that our technicians are continuing to be educated, that our service advisors are continuing to be educated. And when we go to special classes or events, we'll put that out there on Facebook, or we'll broadcast it on our radio advertising.
Radio and Facebook. Interesting. I hope to ask you that here in a few minutes, but let's talk about processes and systems. One day I heard a great quote that it says processes and systems win wars. And obviously, if you've got good ones, they run good businesses. Is the process and the system gap out there larger than it really should be?
Yes, that's one of the easiest places for shops to improve. I would say it's a place that most people don't argue with. Where in leadership and management, you may have opinions or personality differences that don't allow folks to do certain things certain ways. When it comes to systems and processes, it's pure logic. It can be proven. And you show somebody the tricks of the trade and they usually are jumping up and down, happy as a clam, ready to apply these things in their shop, whether it's a dispatch system, a scheduling system, whatever it is, parts supply.
So when it comes to systems, Bill, are you doing DVI, digital vehicle inspections, at your place?
We're not. I've looked at quite a few different opportunities and examples of digital inspection sheets, and I haven't seen a shop yet that has implemented it and done really well with it. And when I say that, I've gone out and looked and at different programs and different shops and how they use it. And so far, paper is still winning in my world. And it's not to say that I'm not excited to do digital. I want to make that transition. I think that our shop could be successful with it. But at the same time, I'm not so cavalier as to think that I can do something that no one else has done. And I haven't seen it done successfully, really successfully yet.
Got it. You know, I interview people and it's a 50-50 split out there. And some guys that have it, their technicians adopted, they love it. And they're so happy to be there. So probably what, 3 or 4 or 5 years, it's probably going to be the standard bearer, right?
I would believe that to be true. And I think that theoretically, when you look at the programs, it's a no-brainer. It makes total sense. But when you see it in application out there, I have not seen anybody utilizing it to its fullest yet. And maybe I just haven't seen it yet. But I've got one shop in my Southeast Smart Group who actually did a visit for one of the products that's out there with me at another shop, and he has sent his guys to a class, and I'm looking forward. We'll be out there in November. So European Auto Garage, we'll see how they're doing with it.
Tell me something, Bill, that you've tried that didn't work and what you learned from it.
Oil changes would be a great example. When I first started up with the shop, it was something that we just tried to knock out as many oil changes as we could in between everything else. So we were an example of a very busy shop that had a really, really low average repair order. We saw too many cars and too many customers, and we were trying to be all things to all people. And we've since changed that, and we now provide the oil service. It certainly costs about twice what it used to cost, and is certainly providing the customer with a much better service. They're getting what they want. In fact, when I knew it failed, when I knew I had failed and needed a change, a customer actually came back to me. They had driven out of our parking lot, and the serpentine belt broke on their car. And she said, "Don't you guys look at that?" And I thought to myself, "Huh, maybe we should have." Hell no, we don't look at it. We were just giving it an oil change.
Oh my God, huh? There's an aha moment. What about deferred work? Anybody following up on declined or deferred work in the company?
Yeah, a couple of different ways. We've got the Kukui program, which sends out a recommendations letter to the customer following up on the work. And if we get slow, we've got our phone calls that we make. We can go back and make contact with people. We don't usually have that problem. And then if 6 months down the road, if the customer hasn't made it back in, they get a what's called a lost customer email. And that follows up with them, lets them know that it's been 6 months. Please, you know, get in touch with us. Here are some of the recommendations from the last time you were in. And if there's no response to that email, then I'll follow up with a phone call.
Do you set appointments ahead of time like the dentists do?
We do. We set what are called pre-booked reminders. So instead of setting an actual date 6 months down the road, we have a reminder that goes out that says, "Hey, you're due. It's been 6 months. give us a call. We're currently booking 3 days out, and love to take care of your car.
How does that work?
Good. Really good. In fact, when we fail to do so, we hear about it from our customers.
Ah, they expect you're supposed to remind me, Bill.
Yeah. I didn't get a reminder, and now I'm overdue.
Customer retention. What are you doing?
Oh, gosh. So we have a variety of things. Probably the best thing that we do for customer retention is our Red Check Club. The queue with the red check is part of our brand, and the red check as the leg on the queue. And so our Red Check Club is for our customer loyalty program. It begins with a license plate frame that's installed on the vehicle. The license plate frame in very bold letters at the top says Truckee. The significance of that is that it gives them an easy way to get through chain control and an easy way to get through our agricultural inspection station, which happens at the state line of California, which is right in the middle of our town. So in both cases, when they see the Truckee quality automotive and smog license plate frame, they get waved right through. So that's a nice benefit of the frame. It's also a standing recommendation from every car that's out there on the road to every other car out there on the road or every other car owner. Within the quality check club or the red check club, for having it, you get a variety of benefits. You get 3-year, 36,000-mile warranty. Our standard is 224. We increased it to 336. You get buy one, get one free wiper blades, seasonal promotion. You get car wash cards with every service in the summertime. We have a free local towing with one of our local towing companies. And we have a gold pass, which is a transferable season pass for any ski area in California and Nevada. And you get to use that once a year per vehicle you have in the check club. And skiing is now about $150 a day for a pass. So it's basically a $150 benefit in your pocket.
It's a heck of a deal. 50% of your customers that are in the club?
Yeah, right about there.
Do they have to pay to get in it, or they just qualify because they're good people?
It's free. We ask everybody. Yeah, everybody has the opportunity. There's a lot of quality automotive and smog frames running around Truckee.
Cool, I love it. Hey, are you recording your phone calls at the service counter?
We record all of the phone calls that come in on our recorded lines. So if somebody gets our phone number from Google or Yelp, you know, anywhere online, they're going to be on a recorded call.
Are you converting first-time customers because of this at a higher rate?
Well, our first-time customers are getting a follow-up postcard that does explain all that to them, and also explains that we have a lot of first-time customers that come in for smog or emissions testing.
So you got a built-in, if you will, lane of people constantly coming in that you want to turn into be, maintenance customers.
25 to 30 a day. Yeah, and of those, maybe half are brand new customers. So our conversion rate is low by percentage just because of the number of people who are coming in.
I'm not that familiar with the whole California smog thing. Do you have to qualify to be a smog shop?
Oh, boy. Yeah. To be a California smog shop, you've got to have a technician who has passed his A6, A8, and L1 ASC tests. Then they have to go and take their emissions test to become a test technician. And then there's a whole nother test if you want to repair smog-related failures.
By the way, I spent some time on your website. That is a jam-packed website. You've got a lot of great stuff there. Is that by your design? Because that's the face you want to put out to the customer?
Well, my wife is responsible for all the sales and marketing. So
give her a high five from me.
All right. Yeah, she's done all the layout and design for that.
Telematics, autonomous cars, impacting technology. Give me the Bill Greeno 50-foot view.
Oh, the internal combustion engine hasn't really seen any changes in 100 years. I don't know how close we really are to having that as an impact. If it's going to happen anywhere, it's going to happen in California.
Well, talk about a trend-setting state.
Yeah, but you know where we are. You know, we've got snow on the ground. It snowed 7 inches last night. You know, what is it, April 25th? you can't have that kind of technology. Isn't going to work in the mountains.
Okay, so that's why you're wearing a heavy vest and you have a beard, all because you are a snowman, right?
We move a lot of snow. You know, as far as cars go in Truckee, people ask you, are you a specialty shop? Yes, we are. We work on everything that's all-wheel or four-wheel drive. That's really what we're limited to. We don't see two-wheel drives. And so if it's all-wheel or four-wheel, up here, every dad has a Chevy, every mom has an Audi, and every kid has a Subaru.
Yeah, I can see why there wouldn't be specialties, especially in Truckee, California. But, you know, with your group, do you see that trend possibly moving more to specialty, where shops are just going to work on one or two platforms?
Gosh, that would be wonderful. If that was the standard out there, everybody would be better served. I think it's a beautiful thing. If your technicians can really become masters at one line of car or two lines of car, you know, that just ripples right out to the customer. The customer is 100% taken care of every time. There's no guesswork. The people that are working on the cars know everything about them. I would say that the sharing of customers between shops goes to a new level where, you know, maybe mom goes to the Audi shop, but dad goes over to the pickup truck Chevy shop. So yeah, that would be great. Do I see it going in that direction? With the European end of things, definitely. I love to see European only shops. I think they're a wonderful thing, and people who buy European vehicles are apt to look for that. People who buy domestic are typically just looking for a good shop. They're not looking for I don't know that I've ever seen a domestic only or a Chevy, Ford, Chrysler shop.
What's your passion beyond the shop?
Physical, mental, spiritual health.
What do you do to recharge?
Everything I can. My hobbies are certainly including skiing, whitewater kayaking, mountain biking, hunting, fishing. I volunteer quite a bit in town. I work with the ski race team at Squaw Valley. I work with the trap team at our high school, trap shooting. I like to get out there and be busy.
Anything have you fired up right now at the business?
Yeah, we are. We just signed papers to build a new 6-bay, 5,300 square foot shop on Donner Pass Road, right here in the middle of town.
Will that be your second, or are you moving?
We'll be moving.
Wow, from scratch.
From scratch. And it's right, Donner Pass Road in Truckee is also Old Highway 40. And the traffic count on a daily basis eclipses that of I-80 that it parallels. So Interstate 80 has less traffic a day than the road I'm building on.
Are you having fun designing, architect, you know, building this dream shop?
Yeah, that part of it's over. It's designed, it's been approved. And so now I'm enjoying more of the business end of it. You know, we're working on getting estimates. We're working on exactly how all the different pieces and parts are going to be put together, what kind of this and what kind of that. We're putting hydronic floors in, so the guys are going to be nice and warm feet all winter long. And this is where the rubber meets the road. We're budgeting, we're hiring and getting ready to go.
Hey, where do you get your big ideas?
My wife, she's the ideas person. I'm the execution person. I mean, execution in that I'm the one who I'm the hands and feet. So yeah, she's the ideas person. I find my conversations with Cecil Bullard to be very inspiring. He always, he's always very supportive of everything that I've done, including hiring me to work with the Institute. Whenever I knock ideas off of him, he's also a big ideas guy. I can always get a new perspective.
Is he a mentor?
Oh, definitely a mentor, friend, brother.
What's your legacy going to be?
Oh, my legacy will be the building that I'm building. I find it really inspiring that I am going to have one of 200 buildings in our town that I will have designed and built. And then after I'm done, I do intend to have someone in place that will take over the business and run it when I'm done.
Is it family or not?
Probably not, but certainly if one of my daughters wanted to get in there, they both worked at the shop, they could. But If I imagine they'll go off and do bigger and better things.
Hey, Bill, think back, or even currently, what's the best piece of advice that you've ever been given?
The best piece of advice, or maybe a saying that I really enjoy, is luck is where preparation meets opportunity. That's something to live by.
When you look down over your crystal ball, what's the next generation of repair shop going to be like?
The next generation of repair shop, Carm, is going to be along the lines of what we talked about. It's going to be a really well-educated leader who has a great company culture. Boy, I'd love to see him specializing, like you asked. And the technicians are going to be ever more educated because vehicles are becoming more and more complicated.
So if you had any request for my audience, what would you say to them right now?
Communication is key to life. It's the biggest challenge that we face. It is the most important thing to success in your business, and it is probably the number one thing holding you back. Share with your staff, let them know what they can expect from you, and let them know what you expect from them. That is quintessential.
And finally, when you look back, what are you the proudest of, Bill?
I am the proudest of my staff. I would say the what my staff accomplishes on a daily basis, on a monthly basis, as individuals and as a team, whether it's fixing cars or just being really good people in the community, they inspire me every day.
Well, Bill Greeno of Quality Automotive and Smog in Truckee, California, where it snows 600 inches a year.
Well, not every year, this year.
All right, man. Well, thanks for being on with us. It was just great. Great. Thank you.
Thanks, Carm.
Hey, Aftermarketers. Thanks for joining Bill Greeno from Quality Automotive and Smog in Truckee, California, for this Remarkable Results Radio podcast interview. We heard a great dual-sided interview, good information on Bill's shop and his view of the industry as a business consultant. Now, for an in-depth episode experience, don't miss the show notes for the episode with Bill Greeno. Find them at remarkableresults.biz/E221. Hey, do you have an idea for a show guest, a topic for the Town Hall Academy? You know, did you know that the majority of the Academy subjects come from my listeners? Or do you have a comment on the show? Hey, get with me via email at carm@remarkableresults.biz, that's B-I-Z, or head over to the contact page on the website. Hey, thank you so much for being part of the Premier Automotive Aftermarket Podcast. I would love it if you told a friend. Don't keep this powerful resource a secret. My mission is to bring this content to every player in the industry. Organically, the only way it works is word of mouth, and to have you share the podcast within your network. Remember, a rising tide lifts all boats, and that is exactly how we build strength among each other. And the RRR Podcast is one of those catalysts. Remember, there's enough business to go around for everyone. Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from another inspiring aftermarket professional. Until next time.